Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome as we greet what some might call breaking news, but we might call it the least surprising news ever. CNN CEO Chris Licht is out, or as Chris Plant put it, Chris Licht is licked. Our joke was Chris Licht ever in at CNN? Or did Jeff Zucker and his hardcore fans run CNN the whole time? If you've been watching CNN on TV, it's really never changed. It's never become more news, less opinion, less left, more center. Joining me to discuss all things CNN today is Newsbusters managing editor Curtis Houck.
Yeah, I was going to say, this. We've got a lot to talk about. Yeah, I like the licked. That's funny.
Now, I would like us to find a few fractions of disagreement on this, but, you know, we all largely agree here at Newsbusters on the state of CNN, since we have it on all day, every day.
It's every day.
It's in the news analysis room, so to speak. It's out by the elevators. You could just look at it without the volume on and say, oh, no, what are they doing now? So I don't want to agree on everything like we're on the PBS NewsHour, but
we could start with where we agree. Yeah.
Let's start with the snark. Our favorite tweeter, one of our favorite tweeters, Red Stees, Stephen Miller, tweeted, Chris Licht didn't drain the Jeff Zucker swamp. We both agree on that.
Yeah, and I think that's where we agree that, like, for heaven's sake, like, why did you keep Don Lemon around? You know, your entire premise is CNN traffics in hysteria. Everything's outrage. You know, he said that to Tim O'Berti. He said that publicly, too. You know, a lot of CNN employees were shocked, you know, that he was telling Tim O'Berti about how everything is an 11. And when there's something really awful happening, we're kind of numb to it. And how the press made it their mission to go after Trump by putting on a jersey on and got into the game. When if you just look at headlines for Chris Licht, he said this publicly when he came in. He said to win back your trust of Republican congressmen. He talked about how extremes are dominating cable news. Another headline, he thought New Day sucks and wanted a new show. He said CNN need to challenge groupthink and accept, quote, differing views. So he came in to CNN saying a lot of things that we would agree with.
Yes. Now, here's where we disagree, because I know that what you said was, as you're suggesting here, Licht should have come in and not just laid off Stelter, Harwood, and Saliz or whatever. He should have just cleaned house. And Cuomo. He should have cleaned house. Why on earth was Jim Acosta still there? And I would laugh, like, how is it that you remove Brian Stelter and keep Oliver Darcy? That's like Tweedledum and Tweedledumber. You can't say, oh, I'm only gonna keep the people that aren't with Zucker. I'll keep Oliver Darcy. But you, right. At some level, you can't fire everybody.
Right. That is true. It is true. You can't fire everybody. And if you want to be a network representing all Americans, yeah, you're going to have people that are to the left, you know. But in my long piece, my opus, as you called it yesterday, talking about kind of how CNN got to where they were and what the last week's been like, I listed a few people that Licht could have also gotten rid of.
Yep.
If he wanted a clean house. Allison Camerota, Laura Coates, Essie Cupp, Daniel Dale.
Yeah. Oh, then, wow.
Yeah. Jamie, and then some more benign ones. Jamie Gangal, Brianna Keeler, McCabe.
You know,
like, insane.
Right.
Abby Phillip, Arlette Sines, Sarah Seidner, Jim Sciutto, another huge example. Bill Weir, you know, because this morning he was talking about 90,000 lives will be saved by going to electric cars.
If we all drive electric cars. I mean,
those weird people. And, of course, Acosta and Darcy.
Yeah, I mean, we end up coming down to having a discussion about if he wanted to actually do this, what would the actual tactics be? Because obviously this playbook did not work.
Because he tried to go in and say, CNN is going to do the news again. We are going to talk about more than one story a day.
And they all were like, no, we don't want to be the news.
Right, exactly. He said at a company town hall at one point in his tenure last year that, like, you guys need to acknowledge that our brand has taken a hit. And Tim Alberta reports that, like, employees were horrified and offended by that. That our brand is great. Everything was just, you know, we handled the Trump years, you know, swimmingly. Like, they were so proud of the way that they behaved themselves, you know, when really it was just visceral hatred and sneering disdain for conservatives. And they loved being told what to do by Jeff Zucker because they agreed with it, but they also liked their hand being held by Daddy Jeff. And because Licht was basically saying, I'm not going to be this guy, and I'm also not going to hold your hand, they didn't like that. And so my argument is, by not purging all of the talent and just kind of ripping the Band-Aid off, you allowed those people and the producers under them and their assistants to stay there. And then when Licht made these public or semi-private claims or assertions about what the mission of journalism should be, they were going to go run and leak to the press.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my big problem. You know, this is what they were offended by. Tim Alberta of The Atlantic asked Chris Licht to define journalism. Like, what should the news look like? And it's really short, but it's great. Journalism, being trusted. Everyone has an agenda trying to shape events or shape thought. There has to be an absolute source of truth. There's good actors, there's bad actors, there's a lot of bleep in the world. There has to be something that you're able to look at and go, they have no agenda other than the truth. So maybe that's a little high and mighty.
Yes.
But the point is, generally, especially the beginning part, is true. The journalism should be people that are trusted and recognize that everyone has an agenda. That was even too much for these people.
Yeah, I think that obviously this is where network news has gone today. And that is, yes, they're in silos. So they'll say the right wingers have Fox, they're in their silo. And then they like to pretend that somehow CNN and MSNBC isn't in a silo, reporting to viewers in a silo. And this is where you might say, this is where we look at Licht and say, I see what you're trying to do, but it's kind of non-existent.
It's just not going to work because, yeah, you weren't going to be a micromanager.
Right.
You kind of still allowed them to do it. Yeah, they kind of went along with the fact that we're going to cover more than a couple stories per hour, more than like, we're not going to do Trump for 45 minutes, then the final 15 minutes be like, oh, yeah, by the way, these like three or four things happened. Yeah, good luck. Back to the top of the hour.
It is one of those things to me that, you know, one of the games we like to play here with our SnapStream video recording system is going to the closed captioning, and I'll take an hour of CNN and we'll say, let's see how many times the word Trump comes up. You know, it'd be 15, 20, 25. Now put in the word Biden. 2, 4, 5. You know, maybe if there is a White House briefing, you get more Bidens. But it's almost like, yeah, the Trump obsession really never stopped. So, yeah, as long as we're quoting Chris Licht, this was what stuck out to me, where he looked at annoyed at the employees and said, we are not an advocacy network. And if you want to work for an advocacy network, there are other places to go. This is exactly...
went over like Hiroshima and Nagasaki with these people.
It's like that is not the right thing to say if you're trying to win over the Zuckerbots, as you call them. I mean,
right. I mean, and he was also, his other, view that made a lot of people upset, particularly in the Alberta profile, which was newer, is him saying the number of people who died from COVID is not an absolute truth because some college student tried to tell him that one time and that Tim Alberta recalls. And he said there were legitimate conversations to be had. Some patients had been admitted to hospitals with life-threatening illnesses before the pandemic began and then died with a positive diagnosis. And it like befuddled this lefty college student. And apparently it upset a lot of people at CNN as well. And that he denounced Zucker to Tim Alberta for censoring discussion of the lab leak under the guise of xenophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And him saying that, yeah, CNN got a little over their skis with COVID because at a certain point, he said people went outside and said, this isn't real life. This isn't real life. And we can't treat COVID this way, cover COVID this way in order to keep ratings. As Nick Fonacar pointed out to us, they had those facts and fears town halls all the time.
Well, and this is one of those things that do you have any ability to at introspection? And they really don't. And that is, could they look backwards at this point and say, we got some things wrong. We were over the top. And so, for example, what's the first thing? If we're sitting in a group of CNN employees and the subject is COVID, we might talk about how they wouldn't even consider the lab leak theory. But we might also, I think the first thing we would say to them is, remember how somehow social justice marches were not infectious? That when Trumpers gathered outside, it was going to be a super spreader. And when leftists gathered outside, they would literally go to doctors who ran for Congress as Democrats or something.
Or, the, you know, some Medicare group, Bob Levinson or whatever.
That may be what I was thinking. But it's like, tell us why you can't get COVID at a Black Lives Matter rally. I mean, that's really the critique, one of the critiques of CNN. And they don't even want to try to absorb that criticism.
Well, Licht even used the word shaming. He used that quote. He said that CNN was engaged in shaming other people.
Well, and there was a lot of that. I mean, and this is where, yes, when we come back to Don Lemon being upset by the term outrage porn, you could never have enough outrage. And so, yes, you would make over-the-top statements like Trump's killed 50,000 people, or you'd understate things like I'm standing in front of a fire, Omar Jimenez, and it's mostly peaceful. That's the kind of thing that CNN really should try to consider. I mean, all of them are like Brian Stelter's old show, is that their whole purpose in life was to denounce Trump and forever suggest the media were too soft on Trump. And that's where they still are.
Yeah, it's like Jay Rosen was actually running their newsroom. You know,
the secret puppet master is Jay Rosen.
Right.
He's a professor at New York University. If you haven't heard us talk about him before, he is one of Stelter's favorites.
Because he's one of those people that thinks like the media is too conservative or something.
Well, back in the Bush years, in the W. Bush years, Jay Rosen was running around saying that Bush was decertifying the press, and which he wasn't doing. I mean,
you know this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but the idea, you know, his idea at the time was that somehow George W. Bush was like early Trump or something in terms of shutting down the press. That was not the case at all with Bush Cheney. I mean, they accepted a lot of negative interviews and so on with the liberal press. Anyway, the other thing that you have in your item that is interesting that we should discuss was the Benjamin Mullen story in the New York Times, where you really get that whole idea of Mullen said Jeff Zucker became a grievance switchboard for current and former employees of the news network. It's like, this is really, the New York Times is underlining, Zucker still seemed to be in control from the sound of this.
Right. Yeah. And he, that New York Times piece, the headline, could Jeff Zucker fix CNN? He seems to think so. It's been more than a year since he was forced from the top job at the network. Since then, he's made no secret of his frustrations with his exit or his low regard for the man who replaced him, Chris Licht. And the story starts with him speaking to some students at Yale. And he says his affair with Allison Gullist, his number two, his lover, who like she moved, he or she moved in like right above the other one so they could just sneak up and like, anyway.
With their spouses. Yeah.
It's very weird, very strange situation. He said the affair was the gun that he allowed Warner Brothers to shoot Discovery to shoot him with, which is, you know, that's kind of fair.
You walked right into that.
That's a fair one.
Or slept right into that.
Yeah, exactly. And Mullen explained that, quote, his gripes have become more frequent as of late, and he's made no secret of his unhappiness. And then he even had an on-the-record statement from a spokesperson for Zucker, saying it's wholly unsurprising that Jeff Zucker, the architect of CNN's unprecedented success, would have deep misgivings about the direction the network has taken.
Yeah, I mean, this underlines the main point that we started with, which is, it's like Zucker never left. I mean, certainly from the sound of the network on air, and now from these stories from behind the scenes, you get this idea that the Zucker camp was in control the whole time.
Right, and that's where again you didn't quite get the level of buy-in. And Mullen even says on the record, he says that Warner Brothers executives at Warner Brothers Discovery believe Mr. Zucker is raging a proxy war against Mr. Licht, undermining his leadership from afar. And he points out that they suspect Zucker has leaked unflattering information about the network's operations to the press. And we all know, anybody who's worked in a good job, you know, jobs, you've had good bosses, you've had bad bosses. But
hopefully
this,
good bosses.
Well, I've only been in one place, so that's probably a good sign. But this is like taking you missing your old boss to like the extreme.
Oh, yeah.
Where people just say the most unflattering things. When you're leaking to the Daily Beast, you know, or you're leaking to your old buddies at Puck, buddy Dylan Byers, who's a partner. You know, they call partners at Puck. They don't use the word journalist because they're better than journalists. They're partners. That when you're going around and just leaking about how much, you know, how morale is terrible and he's not letting us be our authentic selves, it's like, oh my gosh.
You're where we're like children.
You're like university students.
You have to look at this and say, really? This is you not being allowed to vent? I mean, that's what are you, well, like, from what we're seeing, it looks like you're venting a lot.
Well, I guess it's because, you know, people like Breonna Keeler aren't allowed to do her like roll the tape segments where she just said,
yes,
or like, I forget what the name of Shudo started doing a commentary segment, like right at the end of, it's For the Record or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's like Zucker required that with for everybody. And now Jake Tapper has a Murrow.
Well, in Jim Acosta's, it was called Hold On, you know, named after him yelling at the Trump press secretaries and yelling at Trump. He had those people all had those kinds of commentaries, like Ana Cabrera, who's now with MSNBC, who did the right thing, in my opinion. I'm like, if you're going to be a liberal hack, just go to MSNBC. And that's exactly what she's done. She had that, I forget what it was called, with Ellie Honing. They would do this kind of back and forth about mm-hmm. how, ooh, Trump's really screwed this time segment every weekend. But I guess because they got rid of that kind of stuff.
Right.
They say that, you know,
we're not being our authentic selves.
Right. Whereas, like, you look, Boris Sanchez this week or last week was complaining about, you know, Twitter allowing an anti-trans documentary, you know, referring to the Daily Wire's What is a Woman?
Mm-hmm.
Not actually saying what is a woman, not saying it's from the Daily Wire, not saying Matt Walsh's name, but just saying anti-trans, and that people have been worried about Musk allowing hateful content. And that's just one example of you're saying, how has CNN changed really at all? Other than just, you know, some vapid, you know, channel lineup changes.
Right. Well, and this is it. We were talking about how them deciding to make this debacle of a morning show with Lemon.
I mean, it was just a horrible decision. You know, again, so I don't sound like, you know, a total Licht fan here. I mean, again, as I said at the top of the show here, what were you thinking? You have a message that we want to go back to the center. And I probably think even Zucker loyalists are like, how does that, you know, even that disagree with it, probably looked at it and were like, how does this accomplish your mission? Because you pick Lemon, you know, and it sounds like what happened was they were afraid of, and Puck is also, Byers has also made this point that, like, they were afraid of getting rid of him right then and there because they didn't want to be seen as racist.
Or anti-gay,
that, you know, you'd have GLAD or you would have Ben Crump and all Sharpton and all the other race hustlers coming after you. When, again, it's like, you know, when you need to make job cuts and other things, you need to have some actual stones here. And you're just moving the deck. Again, you're just moving the deck chairs around. And then, oh, who do we want to put with Lemon? You know, Licht more or less just put a blindfold on and threw darts at the wall and was like, Poppy and Caitlin.
Well, and that's right. And they had no chemistry. And usually on a show like that, they workshop it more before they go on.
Right. And it was like two or three weeks from when it was announced to when it went to air, which, again, is like, this is your signature program, your signature morning show. Yes, you had the midterms coming up. I understand that. But, like, why didn't... Yeah.
Well, I think that the pro-Lick viewpoint on this, Curtis, is CNN's morning show generally sucks. It sucked when it was Soledad O'Brien. It sucked with Chris Cuomo. I mean, generally, it's always lost to Morning Joe. And at the end of the day, that's what's sort of missing from the internal hubbub at CNN. And that is, you're in third. You know, and it's gotten worse. And obviously, the town hall with Trump became one of those things. Maybe you could compare it to Fox firing Tucker, where a lot of people who were watching your network decided they were going to pick up and go somewhere else.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, if the car was heading towards the cliff of Chris Licht's tenure coming to a close at, I don't know, 30 miles an hour, the Trump town hall made it go 55 miles an hour towards the cliff.
So let's turn then to the Tim Alberta piece, because the guys at Puck had a podcast and some articles. They were trying to suggest that this massive 15,000-word Tim Alberta piece in The Atlantic was like, you know, I don't know, Antietam or something. It's like, what, this horrible decision, horrible commander decision.
Right.
And yes, by the time they'd been working on this for a year, by the time Alberta actually publishes, he publishes right after the Trump town hall. And that's sort of the dominant theme it begins with.
And ends with, yeah.
Is that, why on earth would you decide to do this? And you actually can question. It would have been more interesting if they'd started with Nikki Haley, if they'd started with Mike Pence, instead of starting with Trump. Because they know...
The Trump readership.
The viewers hate Trump.
Tim Alberta.
And, well, yes, Tim Alberta. Tim Alberta thinks Trump is a inhuman monster instead of just an election denier who's obsessed with himself. But this idea that somehow Chris Licht was smart to spend a year talking to Tim Alberta, you know, I don't know if it's a debacle, but it ended up being the last straw.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think it's very the piece is very similar to the town hall in that it accelerated what was already going to probably happen at some point in the near future. I think this is just a convenient excuse for people to say that in my long piece yesterday that I encourage people to check out, you know, that was my first takeaway, that media executives should know that they can also fall victim to treating national journalists like they're their friend, when they should know that they're willing to sell out anybody in the name of a scoop or a story. That Alberta was just ingratiating himself to Licht, and Licht just somehow ate it up. Yes, we all, at a certain level, even if you don't want to admit it, we all crave affirmation. That's why one of the five love languages is words of affirmation. People care about what other people think about them to a certain extent. But you should know, working in a media industry, that journalists play the game and try to butter you up.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I think some of the stuff about, like, the going to the gym with him was weird. It's not as weird as I think the Puck guys and some of the others tried to make it out to be. Like, ooh, he's grunting about Zucker. Like, whatever. He's so, like, obsessed with him.
So Alberta, no, Chris Licht had took Alberta to the gym with him.
Right.
Like, to show him he was macho or what?
It was supposed to be following him everywhere. Like, right. It was supposed to be a full profile. And if that's how Licht starts his day, then... I guess he brought him along, and I just think it was a bad move. I understand what he was doing, and it was only one time he was like, I bet you Zucker can't lift this, you know, when he was doing some lifts or whatever. He's being jokey. He was clearly being jokey. That's kind of what some people would probably think of it as, but they took it seriously. Like, this guy's like, you know, some sort of Fatal Attraction level obsession with Jeff Zucker, and it's like, I don't really think so. And even his trainer, that was an interesting subpart that I didn't get in my piece. His trainer doesn't watch CNN, is a big MSNBC person. He said, Rachel Maddow's my girl.
Oh.
But he said, I believe in Licht, Chris, because we don't talk to each other anymore as a country. And even though he watches MSNBC where he gets his side affirmed, he says there should be a place where people of differing opinions can tune in and have a discussion and feel like they're all being listened to. And so, yeah, there's something to that. That's certainly true. You look at News Nation. News Nation is trying to do that, and their ratings really haven't gone that well, even though they were at WGN, which is in most American – was on most people's cable packages. That still hasn't worked out for them. But in terms of access, to get back to the main point, I just – I'm not big on these, like, big profiles, because you just know exactly what's going to happen. And if you looked at Tim Alberta's track record, you knew what was going to happen.
Well, part of that track record was Tim Alberta, when he was with Politico, came here to the Media Research Center and interviewed Brent Bozell and sat down with Brent Baker and I. And Yes, this was one of those times where I actually yelled at a reporter because he was doing exactly this, the same thing he basically did to Chris Licht, which was, you're enabling Trump. This was sort of his main man attack, which was, you guys at Newsbusters, by constantly undermining people's trust in the press, you created Trump. And this is where you want to say, did you pay any attention to what Brent Bozell said about Trump when he arrived on the scene? Which was what, we don't know who this guy is. This guy was a New York liberal up until like 2013. So we were not on the Trump wagon. But I took exception to this whole idea that somehow we're ruining America by criticizing the press. And what I told him at the time was what CNN needs to hear. Who's undermining trust in the press? The press. We're just pointing out what should be obvious, which is, yeah, these people have no respect for an opposing point of view.
And we're just running their, and we're just running your words. And unlike other news organizations, we run transcripts of what you say.
And video.
So we're like libs of TikTok almost in that regard. That's why they hate libs of TikTok, because Kaya just
puts it out there.
Just puts it out there and is like, here it is. Here's the unedited video. And you're like, make a decision for yourself. And they can't stand that about us. But I just think it accelerated his downfall. And Alberta's problem in part two was the asides that he would make about Trump. He had this conspiracy about Byron Donalds and Hogan Gidley being on the post town hall panels with some sort of like,
how secret, dare they have an opposing point of view?
Handshake. And basically, like, Byron Donalds is a domestic terrorist because he objected to the 2020 election results. Therefore, he shouldn't have been allowed on the air. And what the hell was Lick doing? And you're like, stop.
Well, this is, but, you know, you could sense that in real time, and that is that when Byron Donalds shows up on the air, you know that a big chunk of the audience, and obviously a big chunk of people in the studio, the dominant question they want to ask him is, before you get to have an opinion, please say Biden's president. I mean, that's like your ticket to admission. Now, I think that's an easy test to pass. Well, he's president, isn't he? He's currently running the government, isn't he? So he's president. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you couldn't make allegations that networks like CNN aren't for democracy because they crushed things like the Hunter Biden laptop. And it would be fair to say they, you know, in some way the media rigged and this big tech giants rigged the election by not allowing that story to see the light of day. But yeah, on the other hand, at the end of the day, they just don't like the idea that anybody in favor of Trump is allowed on. Now, where you were saying our friend Jeff Lord, they attacked them for having Jeff Lord on television.
Yeah, Alberta was like, to be fair, Zucker wasn't like basically wasn't without flaws. And then like the first example that he cited before he got to Chris Cuomo and the ethical problems created by that and his affair with Gullist and et cetera, and the Trump outrage was hiring Jeffrey Lord to be a, you know, sniveling Trump like comment. I forget the phraseology that he used, but he was upset that like, and he thought it was a horrible mistake that Trumpers were allowed like that were allowed to speak. And then the brief like failed Corey Lewandowski tenure at CNN, which lasted less time than probably Scaramucci in the White House, where he was on for a couple of days as a commentator and then he was let go. And it was like, dude, you're like a walking contradiction, because he also said in the piece that, as a premise, Trump should, you know, that he disagreed with how the town hall unfolded. But on face value, Alberta basically said, yeah, having an event or an interview with Trump is fine, in my opinion, because he's leading the polls. And yeah, Americans should feel like their candidates aren't being shut out or prevented from going on a network. What it looks like is how what he disagreed with. But then he goes on and then says, oh, why was Jeffrey Lord allowed on the air? And you're like, shut up.
Yeah, this is the CNN silo. And that is, there should be no one who supports Trump allowed in this studio. That's where they were. Well, and this came before the election denial. This is what, 2017, 2018.
And we only have Scott Jennings is like the real conservative on that network. And then you could maybe say David Urban is there some of the time.
Once in a while.
But then after that, Lissa, Anna Navarro, you know, some of these clowns.
Well, you could put Jonah Goldberg in there who, sometimes he says conservative things.
It depends on the issue. You know, like Jonah side note recently was like talking about like the Lululemon shoplifters or whatever.
Right.
When talking about liberals, like why have stuff at all if you're not going to have policing? See, that's where he's still okay. But yeah, don't get him talking about Trump.
This is the other thing. Let me pull this out. We've been talking about the in-house town hall. And I guess the moderator was Audie Cornish, who was formerly of NPR. They brought her over from NPR to be on CNN Plus. Oops.
She never even had an episode air.
You know, NPR, another culture that's absolutely allergic to dissent.
Which, side note, by the way, the new head of USA Today is an NPR executive as well.
That's right.
So we're just spreading NPR everywhere.
That's Terrence Samuel, who is best known to many NPR enemies like me as the guy who came out and said that the Hunter Biden laptop was a pure distraction. That's what they announced in October of 2020. And of course, USA Today said, yes, we'd like more of that. Let's put him at the top.
Yeah, CNN felt that way too, I guess.
But on this town hall, I just thought this was interesting. Underscoring the fears people had internally that CNN was enabling bad actors with a both sides approach to journalism. I'm just going to stop there. I mean, they think that allowing anybody from the other side is enabling bad actors. Like every conservative or Republican is a bad actor. That both sides-ism is pairing truth, the truth of progressivism, with the falsehood of conservatism. It's got as much sophistication as Arianna Huffington. Right is wrong.
Right, as much sophistication as rich white liberal wine mom story hour over on MSNBC there, suggesting that like Moms for Liberty is like a hate group along with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Which, by the way, Licht also made fun of in said discussion with USC journalism students or just students that Alberta mentioned in his piece. He made fun of Nicole Wallace's show being, you know, addicted to outrage and constant breaking news. So people probably didn't like that as well.
Nicole Wallace is like a CNN show, again, where we were like, okay, the first 45 minutes are all on one topic, and the topic is Trump needs to go even after he's gone, right? They're still like, and now let's say, hasn't Jack Smith put him in prison yet for 45 minutes?
And our buddy A Newsman pointed that out last night, that like the primetime shows, so many three or four primetime shows he saw, every single show led with like 15 or 20 minutes of Trump.
I want to go through a couple of tweets here, Curtis, as we're getting to the end. Brian Stelter tweeted, from a friend who says what many alums think.
Oh, my gosh.
As a former CNNer, there is no joy in this. Licht being let go. What an embarrassing end to a shameful chapter in this network's history. I and so many others lost our jobs for his non-existent vision. Non-existent vision. That's what they call Licht trying to move it toward being more both sides-ism. I mean, they're like, it's a non-existent vision.
It's non-existent, just like you guys say Trump or conservatives said X without evidence.
Yeah, it's like, well, you're right. Fairness and ballast is still non-existent on CNN. Then, there, of course, this goes back to the whole point of Stelter and Darcy. Kate Bennett, previous CNN White House / First Lady reporter, FLOTUS.
Oh, she was so weird.
She tweets, I would like to shake Oliver Darcy's hand. He has met this challenging story all the way from the start with integrity and responsibility, even when the calls were coming from inside the house. So this shows you, you know, praising Oliver Darcy is all about the ongoing coup, as Joe Concha puts it, that the in-house people were rallying to get rid of Licht. And Oliver Darcy was clearly part of that. Obviously, the joke here is, well, Oliver Darcy knows something about being a Benedict Arnold.
Right, as we all know. Campus reform, the blaze.
Over to CNN.
Over to CNN. Or no, he was a Business Insider where he kind of started.
That was the middle ground.
But he kind of was like just a reporter. And you're like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. But then when he went to CNN, you're like, oh, my gosh.
He went SE Cup. I mean, it was just...
right. Well, yeah. I mean, in just for example, just like all just three recent examples of blah of stories we've done at Newsbusters to show that CNN has not changed. Fondacaro this week on CNN, LibJourno morally equates banning guns with banning slavery.
What?
Our intern Anna Shaw, no facts. CNN falsely claims trans agenda not targeting kids.
Well, yeah, there's no evidence.
And then two from our but I'll add a bonus. Our buddy Alex Christie, after debt deal, John King wonders if Biden can make centrism sexy. And then finally, for Pride Month, CNN. This is CNN Tonight with Allison Camerota, accuses Florida of shoving people into darkness.
Yeah, that was with Victor Blackwell. And that was, yeah, somehow the whole notion that Ron DeSantis was ruining Florida for the gays.
Of which he is one. I'm surprised.
Victor Blackwell, yeah.
Yes, I'm surprised. A gay black man in Florida, I'm surprised he risked his life considering the NAACP travel advisory to go to Florida.
Yeah, not to mention the Human Rights Campaign's travel advisors.
Right. So that I just had to share that because it's an example. We've been talking during the show about how things haven't changed. Well, those are just some recent examples.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The question here is, now we're heading into the 2024 election cycle. You know, I think we would all predict it's just going to get worse. I personally would say if I was on Team Mike Pence, I would be awfully worried about what's coming on Wednesday night with, you know, any of the moderating influences at CNN have been removed and they're probably feeling their oats.
Right. Well, and the whole idea, and yeah, that Pence is like, yeah, you objected, but like you were still Trump's sycophant for 4 years. So like, aren't you still a terrorist anyway? You know, they'll continue, they'll pretend that, you know, oh, the heroic things he did on January 6th didn't really matter because you were still a Trump dude all the way until then, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing you'll want to see there. The question is, you know, it's really for Zaslav and, you know, key stakeholder John Malone, you have this question. Do you still want to go the centrist route? Do you still believe that CNN shouldn't be MSNBC Lite? Or a disingenuous MSNBC where we claim we're trying to be facts first, but we're just really no different than MSNBC. If the answer is yes, who is going to take that job with that mandate and try to keep these people there? Because otherwise, I predict if you try and do that, keep the same messaging or even try to be more subtle about it, but nonetheless have that as your message that you want CNN to not be a bunch of deranged far left stooges, you're going to have problems that Licht had as well.
Yeah.
Even if you move your office to the newsroom.
And
so if the answer is no, then I guess you just kind of go back to what you were doing before. And the American people lose then because we're back to this really hateful network that's just completely out of control. You know, and Zucker, you know, is wondering if he can shove his way back. But I think the animosity between Zucker and the Warner Brothers Discovery executives would keep him out. And so far, Sarah Fisher of Axios, CNN media contributor, has said that they're not looking to sell CNN right now because CNN has lost so
much. Oh, it's a terrible time. Yeah.
Yeah, CNN has lost so much value.
CNN's losing to Newsmax in certain hours. So
right.
I mean,
well, it's also confluence of, you know, Fox losing viewers and CNN losing viewers, so Newsmax goes up. Where it's not just like one show, Newsmax show, it's now like four or five some days beating a bunch of CNN shows. So that's really my question about where do we go from here. Zaslav and Baloney to answer, do you still want to change CNN?
Maybe the big question here is, remember when Trump was agitating that he was going to block the Warner merger? And it's like, Brian Stelter made a big deal out of that. And it's like, dear Brian, from your future, you don't want to root for the Warner merger.
You don't. I didn't think about that. That's amazing. Yes. Hey, Brian, roses are red, violets are blue. I have a gun. Get in the car. I've got stuff to tell you. Like, you don't want to do this. No matter what Zucker is, and everybody's telling you, this isn't good for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, yes, obviously everybody at CNN got upset because John Malone said, why don't they be a news network again? Which they always upsets them. And yeah, Zaslav, by putting in his handpicked material, and you said they were all mad because they didn't interview anybody inside to take over for Zucker. You know, you could also line up all the mistakes Zaslav has made in at least in terms of the internal morale. But at some level, at the end of the day, yeah, cable news is in flux. And
did Sean Spicer tell us that? Yes, he did.
Yes, cable news is dying. But this is the whole point: is are you really going to double down looking at where you are? That I think is. That's a business question. That's not just a politics question. It becomes a business question, which is you've tried to out MSNBC, and it hasn't worked. You're still far behind. Maybe none of us know how CNN can fix it. But obviously, everybody inside CNN didn't want to do both sides. They didn't want to do... I mean, it's quite hilarious that they all use this slogan, facts first. And when Lick tried to impose it, out he goes. So that's where we are. Keep up with us. We will keep following the post-Lick aftermath. So you come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.